The only reason you responded to the message of the gospel was that your heart was good soil. And why was your heart good soil? It had absolutely nothing to do with you.
Welcome to The Word Unleashed with Tom Pennington. Tom is pastor teacher at Countryside Bible Church in Southlake, Texas. Hello again, I'm Bill Wright. Happy Thanksgiving. Today we conclude Tom's series with part 6 of The Parable of the Soils, Mark's Perspective. On this day of gratitude, what better gift to reflect on than God's saving grace that transforms lives? Friend, have you personally responded to Jesus' teaching in the parable of the soils? Have you embraced what he taught or rejected it? This parable reveals why some people believe the gospel while others reject it. It's the condition of the heart that hears the message. Today, Tom Pennington encourages you to be confident and thankful that if you've repented of your sins and turned to Christ, you are truly saved by grace through faith. Let's join our teacher for more now here on The Word Unleashed.
As I told you before, in October, November in Israel, the farmer would have prepared his field for planting. He would have pulled out all the weeds and thorns and plowed the field. But the roots of those weeds and thorns would have been deeper than his plow could have gone. In addition, all the seeds that the weeds and thorns had spread in the field the previous growing season were all still there down in the soil. So some of the good seed that was sown would fall into ground already infested with thorn roots and thorn seeds. Luke puts it like this: other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it. So the two are growing up together, intermingled: the good seed, the wheat, and the thorns. The seed of the gospel falls into this heart, and this person also responds favorably. This heart also appears to accept it, and it begins to grow. But this heart has thorns that begin to grow at the same time and eventually choke the gospel. This plant, too, has the appearance of becoming productive wheat. If you had gone out on the field and looked, you would have seen these wheat plants spring up, and they would have looked great. But then you would have realized there were thorns growing there as well, and you would have worried a little bit about that, and over time, the thorns would have overtaken the wheat. Jesus said, this is like the person with a distracted heart. They hear the gospel, and again, they respond well. They're interested. They bear no fruit because other things in the heart choke its growth. What exactly are the thorns that strangle the gospel in this heart in which it has begun to grow, the distracted heart? What in your heart or in the hearts of people you know and love can strangle out the word so that it never really bears true fruit? This person never comes, or you never come, to a true saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You just come short. Here are the thorns. Jesus says, the worries of the world. Literally, the worries of the age. This person's mind is distracted and preoccupied with the cares that are part of living in every age. And gradually, over time, the message of the gospel and their initial attraction to it begins to wane and eventually die. Choked out by all the worries that go along with life. Worries like careers and mortgages and houses and cars and kids and getting them through school and soccer matches and all the stuff of life. It takes the seed that you once found attractive, that you once were drawn out after, and it begins to choke it out before it bears fruit. A second thorn Jesus identifies here is the deceitfulness of riches. The problem is not with having wealth. It's being deceived by it. This is not having wealth and wanting it, or having it and trying to keep it and make more and imagining that life consists of what you own, what you have. Jesus, you remember, said very clearly, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possesses. But riches, either having them and wanting to keep them, or not having them and wanting them, can be very deceitful. It can tell you there's joy and happiness and fulfillment there. It's deceitful. This kind of heart can become so obsessed with success and money that even their eternal destiny takes a back seat. Jesus couldn't have been clearer when Matthew 6, he said, "You cannot serve God and wealth." Decide who your master's going to be. Mark adds one other distraction, the desires for other things. The cravings for all kinds of other things. It may not be money, that may not be your issue. It may be, as Luke puts it, desires or cravings for the pleasures of this life. The pursuit of personal pleasure can choke out the gospel. It may be illicit pleasure, like drugs, alcohol, sexual sin, some other pleasure that sort of runs your life. Or it may be a legitimate pleasure pursued to such an extreme that it crowds out what really matters in life. Now, I want you to look at these two hearts, the middle hearts here, the rocky ground and the thorny soil, because there are a couple of important distinctions between the superficial heart and the distracted heart. Stay with me a moment. I think this is important. Something I haven't really seen before. With the rocky soil, all it takes is one hot day, one sirocco off the desert, and the plant withers and quickly dies. But with the distracted, preoccupied heart, the process is much, much slower, almost imperceptible. The spiritual interest is slowly choked out over time. In one case, the person immediately gets up and walks away, leaves his Christian profession. In the other case, the life that had begun to grow is slowly choked out. There's another distinction. The superficial heart, the rocky soil, that person falls away. He either renounces the faith altogether or just leaves his or her profession. But with this distracted heart, often there's no dramatic repudiation. This person probably still claims to believe the gospel, but simply bears no fruit. Because there was a time in their lives when they were receptive, when they had great enthusiasm for spiritual things. They may still go to church, they may still be active, still profess Christ, but because of a distracted heart, they're just going through the motions. They show up and just go through the motions again. Jesus said, "Left to grow in the heart, the worries of life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life can choke the word. Slowly, imperceptibly, so that the gospel never really bears fruit in your life." Notice the result, verse 19. It becomes unfruitful. That's the key. The wheat plant never bears fruit. It never produces. Turn back to Ezekiel 33. I mentioned this passage earlier. I want you to see this in its context. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. God's talking to Ezekiel, his prophet. And he says to him, "But as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls and in the doorways of the houses speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, 'Come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord.'" Let's go listen to what Ezekiel has to say. Let's go listen to the prophet. "They come to you," verse 31, "as people come and they sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them. For they do the lustful desires expressed by their mouths, and their heart goes after gain. Behold, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them." God says, "Therefore, I'm bringing judgment." Here you have the heart that never produces fruit. And folks, here's the point. Where there is no fruit, there is no faith. Let me say that again. Where there is no fruit, there is no faith. Instead, the good seed fell into bad soil. And the worries of life and riches and pleasure strangle the word that's been sown in the heart. You know, as you look at this, isn't this where so many people we know in the Bible Belt live? They live right here. Distracted hearts, they've heard the gospel, they've made a profession of faith in Christ, and they've never permanently walked away, they've never been scandalized and fallen away, they probably never openly renounced the faith. In fact, they probably still claim to be Christians, but there is no fruit. They do not do what they hear. Reminds me of what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You remember those words? Those really sobering words where Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, and they'll list things they've done. And then Jesus says this. He says, I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Depart from me. Literally, it says, you who work lawlessness. In other words, you're claiming to know me, but your life doesn't practice the word you've learned. It's not bearing fruit. So you're not the real deal at all. Listen carefully. I understand that sitting here under the sound of my voice, there are all these kinds of soils. If there is no fruit in your life, but you still claim Christ, then you are this third kind of soil, the distracted, preoccupied heart. There's one other kind of heart Jesus describes. It's the prepared heart. Look at verse 20. And those are the ones on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Much of the seed the farmer sowed would fall into the soil that he himself had prepared. Soil with plenty of depth, soil uncluttered by thorns and other worthless plants. It's soft and deep and clean. What makes bad soil? Think about this with me for a moment. What makes bad soil? What makes it hard or shallow or thorny? Either no preparation or insufficient preparation. Just let the curse take its course. What do you have to do in a heart to keep the word from growing and bearing fruit in the life? Absolutely nothing. Just let the curse take its course. What makes, on the other hand, for good soil? Soil for planting and growing a good crop. Hard work and careful preparation. The soil has to be carefully prepared. But soil, folks, can't prepare itself. Good soil can't take credit for being good soil. Just imagine for a moment if soil, dirt, could talk. Go out to one of the fields nearby. It wouldn't say, you know, unlike the other dirt around me, I'm good soil. I've prepared myself to receive the seed. No, it's right there alongside the bad soils. The difference is the preparation by the farmer. If the farmer had not carefully prepared it, it would either be hard or rocky or thorny, just like the rest of the soil. Good soil is soil that has been carefully prepared to receive the seed and to be fruitful by someone else. In the same way, we are each responsible for the bad condition of our hearts. We alone are responsible. But the only way we will ever receive the word and bear fruit is if God prepares the soil of our heart to receive it. That's the clear message of Scripture. I wish I had time to take you to all these texts. Let's just look at a couple of them. Look at John 6. I love this one. I know I come here often, but it's hard to imagine Jesus ever being clearer than this. John chapter 6, verse 44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. In other words, Jesus was saying, you have to have a heart that the Father has prepared before you'll come to me. It's the way it happens. You want to see what that looks like in real life? Turn back to Acts. Acts 16. Let me show you what Jesus said looks like in work clothes. Acts 16, verse 14. We meet a woman named Lydia, the first convert in Europe. And as Paul is there, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening. And the Lord opened her heart. The Lord prepared her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. This is how it works. All of us have hard or rocky or thorny hearts. We have distracted hearts. We have hard hearts. We have superficial hearts. That's how we would be naturally. So the Holy Spirit has to prepare our hearts to receive the word like he did with Lydia. God opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. So what happens in this soil that's been well prepared by God to receive the seed? Well, if you kind of weave the parallels from the Gospels together, it's very interesting. The prepared heart hears the word, understands the word, according to Matthew 13, accepts the word, holds it fast, according to Luke 8, and bears fruit, all three of them. That's what the prepared soil does. That's how it responds when the seed is sown. It hears, understands, accepts, holds fast, and eventually bears fruit. There's the key, by the way. It bears fruit. That's the reason the farmer sowed the seed in the first place. Now let me ask you a question. How do you know if your heart is good soil? Well, the answer to that is simple. Does it bear fruit? You say, okay, what is the fruit? What is the fruit that every true Christian will produce? It is a harvest of two things: Christian character and good works. Christian character and good works. Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Do those qualities describe you? Can you read that list in Galatians 5 and see God producing those things in your heart? And would the people who know you best agree? Where the Spirit is, where the soil has been prepared, you will bear fruit of Christian character and good works. You were prepared for that, according to Ephesians 2:10. That's why God saved you, to produce good works. We're not saved by good works, we're saved unto good works. But where there is good soil, it bears fruit. It bears fruit in Christian character, and it bears fruit in good works. That's what results from good seed falling in good soil, a truth being sown in a heart prepared by God. Notice verse 20 adds, they bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. You see, different seed, based on a variety of circumstances, produce different yields. In the first century, they tell us the average yield was between 5 and 15%. So 30-fold would have been a wonderful yield. 60-fold, amazing. And 100-fold would have been absolutely extraordinary. But Jesus' point is this: the seed falling in good soil may grow at different rates and produce different yields in different hearts. All good soil isn't exactly alike. Look around. Look at your fellow Christians. Look at yourself. Some of us are slower learners than others, but there's fruit where there's faith. Notice that Christ identifies every soil that bears fruit as good soil, regardless of the differing rates of return. So if there's fruit, Jesus says it's good soil. Luke adds that the good soil produced with perseverance. Ongoing fruitfulness is the only way to tell if the seed has fallen into a heart prepared by God. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 24? The one who endures to the end, he will be saved. He will prove that he's the real deal. If he's the real thing, if that person is truly a disciple of Jesus Christ, then he will bear fruit with perseverance. Now, obviously, I've applied this as we've gone along, but I want to look, as we close our time together, at a couple of sort of overarching implications. Understand this: every person who has ever heard the gospel has one of these kinds of hearts. And did you notice that of the four kinds of soils, three of them respond favorably at first, but only one proves to genuinely be good soil? So let's kind of go back over those scenarios I began with. What about a child who grows up in a Christian home and never embraces the gospel? What would Jesus say? That person has what kind of heart? A hard heart. Exposed to the gospel, but it never penetrates. They never want it. They never want anything to do with it, and they move on. Then there's the person who appears to have a dramatic conversion out of a life of sin, and a year or two later, they're not to be found. What kind of heart does that person have? They have the rocky soil heart, the superficial heart. They respond with joy. Looks like the real deal. Looks like it's going to be great in producing wheat, but then it dies. They fall away. They leave their profession of faith. They walk away and you never see them again. A superficial heart. What about the child who grows up in a Christian home and who appears to embrace the gospel, but who at some point begins to live like an unbeliever and continues on that path for the rest of his life, still all the time claiming to be a Christian? What kind of heart does that person have? According to Jesus, they have a distracted, preoccupied heart, a heart where the thorns have choked out the seed so that it doesn't ever bear fruit. So you see that this amazing parable really helps us look at the situations around us. We can never know another heart for sure. Only God knows. But these are indicators of what's really going on in the hearts of others. There's a second implication I want you to see here. This parable, while it does teach us about parables, while it does teach us about different kinds of hearts, you are not stuck with the kind of heart you have. This parable, remember, Jesus told to the crowd, and he ended it with an invitation. You remember? He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If Jesus were here and you had concluded that you had one of those first three kinds of hearts, he would say, are you willing to really hear? Are you willing to turn from your sin and come to me? Because I can give you a new heart. You remember the new covenant promise of Ezekiel? I will take out your heart of stone and I will give you a heart of flesh, a heart that can understand my law. I'll write my law upon your heart so that you will do it. God can give you a different heart. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. This is an invitation to you. If you've concluded that you don't have a heart that's good soil, that's born fruit, you can. If you're willing to turn from your sin and embrace Jesus Christ, he will give you a new heart. But the most important lesson for most of us here to take from this parable is this third implication. The only reason you responded to the message of the gospel was that your heart was good soil. And why was your heart good soil? It had absolutely nothing to do with you. It's because God had prepared your heart. He had prepared the soil of your heart. Soil that left to itself would have been hard or rocky or filled with thorns. But God, in an act of grace, prepared your heart to receive it, like Lydia in Acts 16, so that you responded. It's because of a work of grace. Look back in Mark chapter 4. You remember in between the story that Jesus told and his interpretation that we've studied was the explanation of why parables. You remember what he said? Look at verse 11 again. He was saying to them, to his disciples, to you has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God. Or as the other gospel writers say, to you has been granted to know. It's because God decided in an act of grace to break up your hard heart. Because God, in an act of grace, decided to break up that rocky limestone ledge beneath that thin layer of topsoil. Because God, in an act of grace, decided to tear up all of those thorns that would have choked out the word. He prepared your heart. And when the seed fell, you received it. And you've borne fruit. It was all and is all grace. To you, it has been granted to know. Let's pray together. Father, we are overwhelmed by your goodness. Lord, we freely acknowledge that if you had left us to ourselves, we would never have responded to the gospel. We would never have seen the beauty of Christ. We would never have seen the reality of our sin. But, oh God, we thank you that in an incredible act of grace that we didn't deserve and never would deserve and never will deserve, you prepared our hearts to receive the word. Thank you, oh God. Fill our hearts with genuine praise and love and adoration. May our lives be filled with the sacrifice of praise, giving thanks to your name. Amen.
That's Tom Pennington here on The Word Unleashed, concluding our six-part series, The Parable of the Soils, Mark's Perspective. Today, Tom showed us the marks of genuine saving faith, the good soil that hears God's word, receives it, and bears lasting fruit in a transformed life. Tom will begin another series on our next program, and we do hope you'll join us then. But Tom, before we close out things today, help us understand the powerful implications of the parable of the soils. What does Mark 4 mean for us today?
Well, Bill, as we've discovered together in this series, Jesus dramatically teaches that every person who's ever heard the gospel has one of these four kinds of hearts. reflecting the four soils in the parable. There are no exceptions. This parable really serves as another clear gospel invitation to turn from your sins and to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you have come to Christ in faith, you truly have an ear to hear. And finally, this parable shows the sovereignty of God in salvation, which simply means that all who've come to faith in Christ have done so because God Himself has brought them to salvation. The only reason anyone responds to the free gospel message is because God has prepared the soil of the heart and has powerfully drawn you to Himself through Jesus Christ. I pray that's true of you today.
Thanks, Tom. And now for Tom Pennington and the entire team, I'm Bill Wright. Thanks for listening to The Word Unleashed, exalting God's glory, explaining God's truth.